But I would like to read Psalm 34, Psalm 33, beginning in verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of them of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. For the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. When you read the Great Commission to go into all the world or go into all the nations or go into all the ethnicities, it's a command of us that the gospel is not an American gospel or a Western gospel. It's the gospel. It's the good news to all humanity. That's why I think Josue could feel at home here today, even though he doesn't speak English and he comes from another country and he's not an American citizen. The gospel translates all of that. So we are part of this huge body of Christ. And I remember years ago, we had a Bible study for a college group, and John would come, and he wanted to be a professor. I didn't know if he, you know, a lot of people wanted to be rocket scientists, and people want to be firemen, and they want to do all these different things. And not many actually follow through. John actually followed through and has become a professor of English literature. However, he married a woman who is, you know, her smile is from ear to ear. She's full of joy. And her big deal was to travel. And she wanted to go into the mission field. She wanted to do missions. And John's this professor and tennis coach. She's never going anywhere. And so God, she got a trip, a taste. She got to go to Rwanda. Plus, they went to Mexico. They had been on short term, but nothing like all the way to the side of the world. So she got to go to Rwanda, left part of her heart in Rwanda, wanted to go back. And then all of a sudden, over a period of time, all of a sudden, Concordia changed, came up with this program. And this was their second trip around the world with their children. And it's an amazing story of God's faithfulness. Something else I want to say to John and Erica, I was looking for the scripture, but there's a place in scripture that says our heart went out with you when you left. And the closer you get in Christ, when someone who isn't a blood relative is gone or on a trip, your heart goes out with them. And when they're back, something in your heart comes back and says, oh, you're back, safe and sound. So we're really happy to have you guys back. And I don't know how you unpackage 4.5 months and 12 different countries, but would you say this with me? Give it a shot, John. Would you say that with me?
Give it a shot, John.
Here you go.
Thanks, Kevin. Well, thank you very much. This is, I've always appreciated these Sunday meetings, or family gatherings, are they not? We are a family, and God has brought us together. Thank you for inviting us to share a bit of what God has done here. We did that a couple weeks ago in church. I mean, the testimony of the body, right? That is why we share. We share because God has done something powerful, and we want to give him praise, but we also want to share our brothers and sisters, share with them, so their faith can be built. And even just 2 weeks ago, as we were sharing just before the new year, my faith was built as I heard different stories about certain surgeries that went exceptionally well and certain healing that is going on in this body that I didn't know of. And I watched that journey, Renee, and been praying for you as we traveled. Certain gardens that are growing and new vision, Tony and Emmy, that is happening. That builds my faith. God can do this amazing thing. He can follow and put vision in our hearts and our minds and then help us follow through with it. That is exciting. And so today, this morning, in the spirit of family gathering, we want to share a few things. Erica wanted me to make this point very clear that this is not about a cool trip that we took. This is not, I mean, it was a cool trip. Don't get me wrong, right? It's not for everybody, though. It's not for everyone. It's something very unique that God did through Concordia, this job that I had. I didn't foresee it, as Kevin said. I'm happy just to sit at home and read Shakespeare and teach it to college kids and walk with them in the faith and have my office hours and turn the temperature to 70.2 on the dial. I mean, that's nice, right? I mean, that's nice. When I first get back, we've gone twice now from this trip and come back to my office, and I just look at this domain. Of course, I have no window in my office. It's not glamorous at all. But there's a rolling chair in my office that is so comfortable, and I have this L desk. All my stuff is there, and there's no bugs. There's no bugs. Can I hear an amen? To the rounders especially, there's no bugs in my office. Although I do like eating bugs now, which is different. But you can't eat those ones that are crawling on your floor. But there are no bugs in my office, and so I love that. God has created this trip for us, I believe, out of a calling that he gave to us. And that is as really to do outreach among youth. I've always felt as though I am called, and that I am called to be a youth leader of sorts. And God has given me kind of an interesting journey that I could tell you another time that went from tennis to the church to junior high to high school, now to college. I just feel the calling is the same, though. I'm just called to reach out to youth. And now we have this unique experience that involves an academic component where I'm teaching literature. We are taking these college students into a missional environment where they're serving and working alongside great heroes of the faith, missionaries and non-profit leaders, non-government organizations, NGOs. A unique experience that's both academic, missional, and communal. We're learning with each other. That's really part of the fun. I was talking to a few of the students that got back last week, and they said, oh, it's nice being home, but, you know, I've been reading the same book with 27 other kids. We're all reading the same book. We're all going to the same class. We're all talking about the same stuff. And now I get to these classes with people I don't really know, and maybe a couple, but it's not the same. It's not the same experience. And so that's a really beautiful part of this trip, is what it's like to live and learn in a community. What it's like to serve in a body. Does this sound familiar? That's what we do, right? That's what we do in the church. And yet, somehow, in Western culture, we've been convinced that we want to and we need to be lone rangers and be individuals. And I got my calling and I got my gifts over here. I'm going to go ahead and do these. You go ahead and do what you got to do over there. I don't think that's how we're made to be, right? And it's something we celebrate in this church with Kevin's leading, which has been huge in my life. Something we celebrate in this church is the body, is participating together. Maybe I have a gift, but maybe I won't do this gift in a certain way that I want to, because Matt's gift overlaps. And so then we work together. And I don't need to do everything I feel called to do at every moment. That's a bit selfish, right? But if I can connect with Matt or Cooper or Pat, Jenny, and then we overlap, and all of a sudden I'm doing a little bit less perhaps, but man, we do a lot more in the kingdom when we can really link arms and work together in this communal way, in this community of faith. So the trip, Erica made a cool video we're going to watch in a second, but what's been cool even already this morning is Simeon's song. Simeon, welcome back, buddy. Your song, Taste and See? Taste of Eternity, right, yes. One of the themes of this trip is to taste and see, Psalm 34. You just read Psalm 33, I didn't even prep you. incredible, listen to this. Great psalm. This came to me as we were traveling. I shared with the students this and with Adam, and Adam and I, the other professor that leads this trip with us, he is one of the key visionaries of this trip and a great guy to walk with as a brother and to pray with and to worship with along as we lead this team. But Psalm 34, 1 through 8, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Amen? And then right here. This to me is really the core vision of the trip that we take. And I think the core vision of our lives, right? And perhaps why, perhaps the core of what I want to share today. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man and woman who takes refuge in him. Oh, taste and see. This trip that we took is an opportunity at its core for us to lead the students and for us also to experience as leadership what it is that God is doing in the world. To go out and see how God is moving among different people groups, different cultures, different lands. To taste and see. And by tasting and seeing, to grow and have our faith grown. To see what is possible in the kingdom. This is what this trip has become, and in a beautiful way. My eyes have expanded as I walk next to the college students. Their eyes are expanding. Their vision, man, I never thought of this as a potential career. I never thought of this as something I could do in the kingdom. This is awesome that God can do these things. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to the video here. And something that Erica has prepared, hopefully you'll enjoy this, gives us an overview of some of the things we were doing as we traveled. I don't know who was more surprised. People here before we left, you're taking a two-year-old? Or the people when we got there, you brought a two-year-old? Sheffield did great. He really opened some amazing doors. God used him to open some amazing doors with our hosts and with people. You saw that one of the final pictures there. Mrs. Sung there hugging and Sheffield holding on to her. I love you, Mrs. Sung. He just fell in love with all of our hosts, and he was such a sweet boy, expressed so much affection. So how are we going to do this? One of the thoughts we had, and what we're going to try to run with today, is this. We each picked a story, each of us, the four of us, that illustrates a way God allowed us to taste and see, to see what is possible in the kingdom of God. So Jack, come on up. You're first. Is this thing fired up? Oh. So Jack was especially connected with a group in Paraguay. I just turned this thing on. We have a couple pictures to go along with what he's going to talk about or what he's going to kind of explain. But we worked with a group in Paraguay at Su Refugio, it was called. And am I supposed to do something or is it all you? Okay, right on. And so when we got to Paraguay, there's this Su Refugio was a ministry, his refuge, his peace, his place, that really was doing outreach to the whole city of Tobati, Paraguay. And when we got there, can you tell people a little bit about the kind of work we did, Jack? This is on, I think, here.
We did mostly physical work, like digging, really deep holes for this, covering, because it was really hot, so they wanted to put, a covering over the park. And we did, we worked in the garden, more digging, and planting, and stuff like that. Most of it. That's it.
And there was a guy there. There was a guy there that you connected with. So top left. Yeah. What are you doing right there?
That's me digging a really deep hole for one of the posts.
It was 3 feet.
To go in.
3 feet.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Super wide.
And then, yeah.
And the top middle. That's kind of the whole.
And that's it's the whole facility, all the buildings and stuff, that where we worked.
And bottom middle, far left, that guy?
Oh, yeah, that's me and one of the head, Luis, his name was Luis, and he was the head gardener. And so that's me and him. We planted he had an idea of planting these seedlings. And that in the shape of to spell hope. And so that's it right there. And it was really cool because when we were still on the trip a few weeks later, they took a picture and sent it to us on email, and it was the hope that all sprouted. So it was just cool to see my finished product.
Yeah. And then the top right.
Oh yeah, and that is we went and did this home like evangelizing, like home door-to-door evangelism. And so we like went to each door, and we had this like cube thing that had like that told like the whole Bible story. And so the first few houses my mom did it, and some other people in my group. And then the third house, my mom pointed at me and said it was my turn to do it. So I was really nervous to do that, but I did it, and I said I did the cube and told the whole Bible story to this family with a bunch of kids. So that was cool.
So Jack, I think that people have noticed how much bigger you are. When you got back. Maybe part of the manual labor helped that we made him do. No, we didn't make him. He just jumped in. He loved it. I think we really love together working with a lot of the guys. There's Zach in the middle, and there's a bunch of us. Oh, did I do that? There we go. A bunch of the guys. All this manual labor was a lot of fun, and Jack got into it, and we're drenched in sweat. But at different points, this is awesome. You know, we love doing this. And really, part of the miracle was that God was doing something amazing down there, and we just got to show up and jump in and be a part of what God was doing, right? That was part of what we got to taste and see, that God has a journey for this place, Su Refugio, and he just plugged us in. To dig some holes, to plant some seedlings, right?
Yeah.
And to spread the gospel, to share the actual gospel by verbally sharing with a family. But then also seeing a whole community of men and women that he has raised up to live there full time. These missionaries, some from the States, some local pastors that are working together. And so not only did we get to participate, but we got to get to know some of these great heroes and great champions of the faith that God has planted in this place to bless the community. So, good job, buddy. Want to just do it for you?
Sure.
This is Erica.
Oh, you went too far.
I just said it once, but let's see here.
Okay. Thanks for having me up here. Like I said, we're skipping ahead to just four different stories out of this entire 5 months, and we're skipping ahead through different countries. So hopefully some other time we'll get to unpack certain things, or if you're interested in one of the countries you saw on the video, come ask us personally and we'll tell you some. But this slideshow shows our time in Nepal. Our time in Nepal was very important one for me, because looking ahead to our trip months before we left, Nepal was the place I was most scared for. Just because, mostly having a two-year-old, and I knew that in Nepal we were going to be doing very, very rural ministry, very far from hospitals, any kind of civilization for the most part. And so I was nervous, and I knew, but I feel like I've walked enough years with the Lord where I know that usually the thing you're most scared of, probably I'll end up coming back and saying, it was my favorite part. Amen. Okay, well, here I am saying, it was my favorite part. It tested us in every way, more than I've ever been tested in some ways. But here we are. We started in Kathmandu in the city. An amazing city, which has been very fun for us. All of you in this room love Rachel Curtis as well. And we've been in so many of the same countries. She's on the world race doing missions work. And she was just here doing the same exact thing as us a few weeks ago. And it's fun for us to see her. She even met our hosts. We connected her with our missionary hosts. And so very wonderful. But we started in this city, and we met our hosts, Michael and Lupe. And talk about wondering what kinds of things are possible in the kingdom of God. Michael and Lupe are missionaries. He's from the States. She's from Argentina. They're married, probably in their 50s. And they just got a heart for the Nepali people. And I love his story, because he wanted to go. They wanted to get to Nepal. And it took 19 years before God allowed them to actually go to Nepal. Before that, they started actually a church on the East Coast, a Nepali church. And so even though they wanted to go to Nepal, God said, no, like, I need you right here for these Nepali people. But now that they're in Nepal, they are doing first contact evangelism. And so they are like extreme hikers that leave the city and they go out to far remote villages, things that aren't even on maps. And we're going way ahead. Also.
I know. I think this thing is busted.
They go far to villages to bring the name of the Lord. They bring the gospel, the Jesus film, prayer, and they hike for days and days and days and days and days till they get to a village. So we were getting a taste of that. Obviously, we can't hike days and days and days and days with 38 people on a team. But they took us still pretty far. And can you go back? If you press play, there's actually the next one. Well, while he's trying to get to it, I actually have to back up to a country that we had actually before. Brazil, in the very beginning, and I know many of you prayed so hard for us in this congregation, our trip actually started with quite a scary thing. Within the very first week of this around the world trip, while we were in Brazil, 12 people on our team were in a bus accident. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying for them. It was the scariest, most testing thing for us as leaders. 12 people, a couple in this room, their bus rolled on a dirt road. It rolled. And it was a very scary accident. They all were okay. There are some lingering injuries. Shara, one of them, has an entire AC joint separation on her shoulder that she nursed the rest of the trip and did it and was amazing. But we had some really significant fear also, though, not only for the ones that were on the bus, because now the rest of the trip, from the very first week, now we have 19 more weeks of precarious, freaky roads and scary modes of transportation. And so the very first week was marked with, oh my gosh, we have to go on all this again. So it was scary for them and kind of the rest of us thinking about it a little bit too. But that characterized some of our trip. It brought our team together in ways that I think would have taken a long time. And we bonded within the very first week over some things so terrifying. But all this to say, by the time we got to Nepal, they drove us 22 hours, you counted, 22 hours out of the city, up through the Himalaya foothills on some of the scariest roads. I had a little video of the slide before this, but I don't know if it will show. But oh, yeah. Can you press play on that? Okay. Well, no, never mind. That just goes through. We were on roads like that for a very, very, very long time. And all my nervousness of, Nepal's going to scare me so much for going so far with a two-year-old. But Sheffield slept almost the entire way. It was like an odd amount of sleeping, and he slept. We battled a lot with those that were nervous and prayed, and God kept us safe. We got through there, and we got to the village, and you can go like maybe two ahead. We were very, very remote, and we got to be out in this. We were in homestays, staying in a church, a little tiny village community that we actually couldn't even get to. The roads got so bad that our host said, well, the cars are stuck in front of us. What we do normally is then we just trek in. And we're like, well, like how much further is that? And he goes, maybe 4 or 5 miles, but let's do it. And we're like, yeah. So there we go. Our whole team and we end up trekking to the rest of the village. And we arrived. And the work that we got to do there for that week was, I think it's frozen. Oh, well.
Behind you. It's up there.
Oh, okay. You can go ahead. This is a video, but it's not showing, so you can just stare at John instead. But we got to this all-Hindu school invited us in, mostly because of our hosts, but mostly because we were so strange. Like, what are you doing out here?
English training.
We are English speakers. They would die to have us in there. So we got to go in, and our host said, share the gospel. You can do whatever you want. And so we led VBS in the classrooms. And so I love this picture because we've led VBS for so many years here in this church. And the training of the leading the VBS here in this church paid off in so many countries. It wasn't even funny. I mean, it was a joke. So there's John telling one of his Daniel in the Lion's Den stories, I believe, there. But the beauty of this picture, you can go to the next picture. Oh, so right after he told this, then our host, Lupe, those two girls staring at her in the front, actually the one right behind the front girl, you can't fully see her face, she was hungry for the Lord. You could just see it in her eyes. The moment our group started sharing the first few days, she asked questions. She wanted to know what this Jesus was. Many of them had never even heard of the name Jesus, let alone any part of the gospel story. And so we're telling this, and she's just captivated. And right after Lupe, it was amazing to watch this woman who was our host. She brought in a bar of soap. And she showed us the night before, she goes, I'm going to bring in a bar of soap because I'm going to show her how she's washed clean. Because that is very, very important in the Hindu culture. So she brings in this bar of soap, and she holds it out, and she gives pretty much the gospel message with this bar of soap. And this will wipe you clean. Nothing you ever do will make you clean unless you grasp a hold of Christ's salvation. He wipes you clean. And she holds out, we could just see all of our group had been praying for this girl because we knew that she had been really hungry. And she's the leader of the sixth grade. She's like student leader of the group. And she's just staring, you watch her staring, and she's starting to well up. And Lupe, our host, goes right out to her with the soap, right like a foot to her, and she goes, you just gotta take it. Do you wanna take it? And she's holding it out in front of all of her peers. And she's staring at her, and she's like shaking, and she's shaking, and her eyes are all, and she's shaking, and she goes, yes, and just grabs the soap and holds it in. And it was one of the most powerful moments for me to be in that room, because to see, like, we were so removed. I've never been more rural in my entire life. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be that far from anything ever in my life. And to see, that we were there just doing VBS. I'm like, that's what we do at home. Like, we're still doing VBS. Like, no matter where you send us, Lord, that's what's working. But so it was a beautiful moment and such an honor to share the gospel so rurally and to learn. Like I said, my most favorite part of this trip is the opportunity to watch heroes of the faith. Like that woman, Lupe, the way she shared. I learned how to share the gospel in a cultural way to a Hindu who, everything is about being clean. She even held it with the wrong hand. You know, there's the hand that you go to the bathroom with. There's all that kind of hand. There's a lot of squatty potties and lots of things like that. So the cleanliness is everything in that culture. And so to see her use that and for that girl to accept, okay, Jesus will wipe me clean and I want it. And later on, one of the leader boys accepted the Lord as well. So we had like the two leaders of the elementary school there that were just captivated by God. And they grabbed a hold of him. And the last part of this, you can go to the next slide. One more thing that happened there. As many of you prayed, I was nervous about having Sheffield there. He was the least of our worries. He ended up actually He loved rural life. He was constantly up there cooking with the families. We wouldn't even see him forever. He would just be up there and playing with the animals and couldn't have been more disgustingly dirty. And he was healthy as could be, covered once again. I was so thankful. But we did have a medical emergency, the most removed we could have ever had. And Taylor over here, she developed really horrible stomach pains, and a lot of us were having stomach problems up there, as you can imagine, traveling, but hers was different, very painful. It was very appendicitis looking. Got us very scared. We were at least 7 hours away from a city, and that's not even a trustworthy city. So she was in more and more pain. Our host decided we need to get her out of here about a day before us. And so, I don't know if you can go to the next picture. Sorry, that was just him being cared for, but okay, you can go to the next.
Forward.
One more, because that video is not going to play. Okay, they made a stretcher out of bamboo and tarp, and we carried.
She was that bad off.
She was that bad off. So this is Taylor. Raise your hand, Taylor. See, she's alive and well. We decided if her appendix bursts up here, this is very, very, very dangerous. So they got her down. Like I said, there was no paths. We hiked everywhere in this village. But so they got her down, got her to a Land Rover, and took her 7 hours down a very bumpy road to the nearest hospital. She got there, and really, I believe the miraculous happened of protection over her. She ended up having kind of an inflamed appendix, they said, but they said it's incredibly, incredibly rare that her body formed a cyst around it to encapsulate it and protect her so that it would not blow. And so they said if it had burst on that mountain or down the hill, she very well could have died. I mean, it was she could have gone septic very fast, being that far. So it was, it was a huge faith builder to our team. It was absolutely amazing. God just completely wrapped her up. She got care down there, and she actually finished the entire trip a little not her most healthy, but she did it. And with antibiotics and some different things and prayer, she was able to make it through the rest, which we're so glad, because we couldn't have done the rest of the trip without Taylor as part of our team. She's an integral part. And but we just give glory to God. He did amazing things. Even we were most rural, like I said, I knew I'd come home and say it was one of my favorite, but it was my favorite because it was the most scared I've ever been, kind of internally, just being a leader of this group up there with my family, with my little kids. But to see God move so powerfully and actually feel, like, overwhelming feel his peace, was worth going that crazy for.
That soap they use is very popular, probably the cheapest, most common soap in Nepal. It's red, has red stripes on the packaging. And so Lupe, knowing the culture very well, was able to really kind of unpack this incredible symbol that I believe has been planted by God there, perhaps as a symbol for his goodness, right? This soap, red in color and covered in stripes, which is a pretty amazing biblical connection. This is Naomi Ray Norton, and she was especially touched in India. India was a place speaking of scared, perhaps, concerned to go back. In 2010, we went to Mumbai, had a very challenging, difficult experience in the slums of Mumbai. The kids had a rough time kind of connecting with the food and the whole cuisine there. We stayed in kind of a rough spot, lots of bugs and heat. Well, needless to say, when I said, we're going back to India, the kids weren't jumping up and down. She did it. Right? And so one of our prayers was, I remember praying with Naomi and saying,
air conditioning.
Yeah, what does it mean you want to ask the Lord for in India this time? Let's ask him for something wild and crazy. And she said, air conditioning. We ended up having air conditioning in our hotel, which is nice. We also asked for a connection, right? A really significant connection and some friends that we would make and have a really touching time with. And so why don't you explain kind of what happened, Naomi, a little bit.
Well, in India,
you can hold that.
In India, we worked at the Mother Teresa homes, and our family worked at Diadon, which is, like, you can see the sign up there by the tuk-tuk, and we worked with disabled kids, and when I first got in there, I was really scared because I didn't know what I was supposed to do, and there's just all these kids just in wheelchairs, and I didn't know how to take care of them. And so I went up and did laundry for a while, and this one of the ladies that worked there was trying to bribe me to go downstairs and play with the kids. And then finally, after a while, when we finished laundry, I went down, and I didn't know what to do. I was still super scared, like, what the heck, I can't do this. And then it was really overwhelming, yeah.
What? You go to the next slide, I think.
No. But then, like, I met this little girl, and her name was Pooja, and she was 2 years old, just like Sheffield. And
there she is.
That's her. And I thought she was super cute, and so I was like, she is super cute. I'm just going to hang out with her every day. And so then after a while, I kind of got used to, like, having to feed the kids and put them to bed. And I tried to teach her how to walk and say words and stuff. Because, like, if you don't teach her while she's young, she's never going to be able to walk her entire life. And so as you can see, it's me. Uh-huh. And that's the room where we fed the kids every day. And I fed her a couple of days, but she was more needy because me and my mom would try to feed her, and she would just scream and cry because she didn't want us to do that. So then we had to hand her over to the aunties there. But after, by the end, by, like, the last days, she let me feed her and to, like, put her to sleep. And when I would put her in her bed, she would cry when I would, like, leave the bed and not, like, sit there and sing to her. And I feel like God was with me, like, this all the steps of the way that here. And I feel like he helped me get through that.
Not only get through it, but What happened when you left? What happened on the last day? You were sitting with her in her crib, putting her to sleep for the last time.
Me and my mom, we started crying because we didn't want to leave her here alone at this place. And we were really sad, and that's my favorite country by far now.
That's awesome. Awesome. Good job. Good job. Tasting and seeing in India this legacy Mother Teresa left. Incredible, right? All these different homes, 9 different homes all across the city, all very volunteer-friendly. We walk in, and there's these aunties there that are working there full-time, and these sisters, these nuns that are there and expressing so much love. Part of Naomi's tears came from, well, who's going to take care of this little girl? Who's going to love on her? Who's going to feed her each day? Who's going to teach her to walk? She got those new glasses the week we were there. Naomi wears glasses. She had this incredible connection. And so it didn't take much to kind of point and look. There's these beautiful aunties here. There's these beautiful sisters that they're giving their lives, right? Heroes of the faith, right? Heroes that we could look at and say, wow, God has raised up an army of wonderful, unselfish men and women to really operate this beautiful ministry that reaches out to the poorest of the poor. One of the things that captured my heart at Diadon is a lot of the young children that I would feed or care for, the stories about how they got there were heart-wrenching. One of the little boys, Daniel, that I read to many, many days in a row, he was left in a horrifying trash heap. Basically in the slum, in a trash heap. And if you know trash heaps around here, you don't know trash heaps in Calcutta. Trash heaps in Calcutta are dangerous and viral and really awful. And to think of a little baby, this little boy, sitting in a trash heap being left there. Some are left on doorsteps. Some are thrown in trash cans. And many of the children at this home have been rescued by these sisters who will go out all around the town. These sisters will go all around the town looking for children that are left behind. There's a regular routine where they go to the train stations where parents will often just leave their child on the train and then get off because the train ends very close to where this home, Diadon, is. And so the sisters will go there, these faithful sisters, walking through slums, walking through dangerous parts of the city to get these children. A beautiful picture of Christ, isn't it? I mean, that's why we're here, because Christ went out to where we were ruining our lives and rescued us and brought us to a safe place and said, no, this is not where I will leave you. I will not let my children be left alone, disposed of, because you are made for so much more. And that was one of the wonderful things that as I read to this little boy each day, I kept telling him, you are made for more. God has a beautiful plan for you. Keep praying. And he couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. He couldn't really move his arms in a way, but by faith we know God made him for a purpose and a plan. And to speak those words of hope each day to these children who had been abandoned and left by parents and yet who had been rescued by the Father's own hands and now cared for in a beautiful, clean place. I mean, it's a very clean place. Believe me, I scrub the tar of those walls every single day. I have calluses to show. And volunteers they have working there just cleaning and scrubbing. And it was just spotless, smelled like disinfectant. It didn't smell like a hospital. Believe me, it smelled clean and nice. And it was warm, and it was a great place for these young kids to grow up now, surrounded by loved ones. I have a story, but I'm going to share mine next week. I'm going to speak next week. I'm going to share mine next week because we're out of time. But the beautiful thing that I hope you heard today was that God gives us opportunities to taste and see. And you know, it's not just about going around the world or traveling. I believe as far wide as God's grace moves, He moves deep, right? As far wide as he goes deep. And he goes deep into our lives. He goes deep into your life. He goes deeply, he's moving radically deep into the lives of those you work with, those you live near, those you care for if you have children. He goes deep. And so you don't have to go to Nepal, right, to see that God is good, to see that God is working. All you need to do is go next door to your neighbor's house and ask a few questions to find out what God is doing there. It may take a few questions. It may take a little bit of time. It may take a cup of tea or two. But I hope you feel challenged to go and to find out and to have your eyes open. Be praying. God, show me what you're doing right here in my neighborhood. It seems kind of mundane at times. Show me what you're doing in my coworker's life. Because chances are there's something radical. Chances are there's something radically grace-driven that's going on in the lives of those you work with that you may not expect. So may God bless our eyes this day and for the whole week to see things that God is doing in and around those that we live with. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these words of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you. Let our praise, here in this place, but also throughout this week, let our praise be a testimony of your goodness to those around us. Give us insight, as Lupe in Nepal had, about using that soap as a symbol for your love and grace. Give us insight into how you've planted symbols around us, how you've planted tools around us to reach out to those that are our neighbors, our coworkers, our loved ones. Give us energy, Lord, to get on our knees and to pray for vision, new vision for today, for the people around us that you love, that you want to bring to a place of reconciliation. Fill our hearts with the love that you have for our neighbors, coworkers, and friends in this city. And use us, Father, use us to speak the gospel in love. In Christ's name, amen.